Good evening, and thank you for being here. Welcome to this longest night service. The name of the service comes from the season. Tonight is actually the longest night of the year, although for some, all of the nights in winter, in the grayness and the lack of sunlight, seem long. And it describes certainly the feeling that many of us have during this season. The Advent season is intended to be one of wonder, but for many, it is a time of hopeful anticipation. It's a season of promise. Decorations are everywhere we turn. But for many, especially those of us gathered here, Christmas is a harsh reminder of life as it once was. So we gather not so much in hopeful anticipation, but somewhat in a cloud of despair. While many are ready to sing joy to the world, we gather as those tonight who might mourn. We gather now to carve out a time of quiet reflection. We gather to shed tears if they come, to hold hands if they are available, and to know that we are not alone in this feeling. Whether this is the first Christmas without someone you love, or if you seem to be hurting from losses of another kind, our gathering tonight is to remind you that it's okay to mourn, even at Christmas. We invite you to sing. We invite you to meditate upon the pain and despair you may bring, and we invite you to be open this evening to the Holy Spirit. We trust that you will find hope and comfort in knowing that you are not alone in this gathering. Would you please rise and join me in the call to worship as it is printed in your bulletin. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. On those who lived in a land of deep shadow, a light has shone. For the yoke that was weighing upon them and the burden upon their shoulders, you have broken into pieces, O God, our renewer. Amen.
We light our first candle, a single light, that the deepest darkness cannot conquer, small, insignificant, but a sigh of hope.
Let it speak to us of the tiny flame of hope buried within us, the stubborn little light that refuses to be extinguished by all that life has thrown at it.
We light our second candle, a companion to the first, equally small, equally insignificant, but witnessing to hope that another light brings.
Let it speak to us of the lights of companionship, of our family and our friends, of strangers and kindnesses found in unexpected places that restored our hope in human nature.
We light our third candle, recalling nights of watching and waiting, sleepless, anxious, when dawn seemed to ebb further from the horizon and hope seemed forlorn.
Let it speak to us of the sureness of mourning, of the passing of darkness, of suffering, and the promise of an eternal sunrise dawning for those we have loved and lost, and dawning too for us, though we may yet be in that darkest hour before dawn.
We light our fourth candle, marking the closing of the Advent season and the immediacy of Christmas, a time of peace and joy we may not ourselves feel able to welcome as our spirits dwell in dark and winterness.
Let it speak to us of hope, of being together in this place of healing and wholeness, of our companionship this night at the turning of the year, of faith that we and those we have loved and lost are held eternally in the hand of the one who brought light into being and who knows each of us by name.
From Isaiah the prophet, these words: "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host, one by one, and calls them each by name, because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Hello. My name is Chris Atarian, and I've been asked to give the message of hope, which seems like a pretty a heavy burden, actually. But I'll try. I guess to give a message of hope, I also have to give a message of hardship. And so I was asked to speak about what I think is probably the lowest part of point in my life. And that's when my wife and I lost a child, lost a baby. And the history of this, and I guess it's worthy of talking about now in particular for a couple of reasons. First off is that in the Christmas season, it's very child-focused. And so much attention is on children, young children, the joy you can bring into children's lives, and nothing wrong with that. But it does make it when you are missing a child that much more difficult. The other thing which makes this story and this time a good one for me is that this child who we lost, if the child had been born, the due date was December 8th. And so every time December rolls around, I think about it, even more so than other times. It's funny, I guess, in a way. My wife seems to remember the time during the pregnancy when she lost the pregnancy, which was back in late August. That sticks out in her mind more. For me, it's the due date that never was. People are different that way, I guess. Why is that? I don't know. But I find that interesting. But to me, it's this due date that when it comes by, I always think about it. So it was about 2 years ago that we lost this child, and it was a child we never expected to have. My wife and I had waited a number of years after going to school to decide to have children, and that gets me to something else that is part of this message of children and the difficulties of it and the hardships of it, is that for whatever reason, maybe we can blame Hollywood for this, we grow up in a world where we think, you know, people just have kids when they want to have kids. And the reality is that works well for a lot of people, but there are quite a number of people where that doesn't happen. They, for whatever reason, there are issues of infertility and or other complications. And after my wife and I decided we were ready to want to have children, And we thought, okay, fine, we'll stop doing all the things that we were doing to not have children, and the children will just come. And they didn't for a few years. And we had to work very hard, and we had to go through fertility treatments and all that kind of stuff to finally have a pregnancy. And we did have one that worked, by the way. We have a daughter. She's 9 years old. And, well, actually 8 years old, going on nine. And then we wanted another child, and we had the same infertility issues were still there, so we went through the procedure again, and it didn't work, and it didn't work, and it didn't work. And eventually we figured we're getting into our, you know, early 40s, we should just stop trying, it's probably not a good idea. So we did. And we kind of figured then, we don't have to worry about it, because we can't have children on our own. It doesn't happen just easily like it does for some people. And that's when we had two pregnancies after that. And they both ended. They both spontaneously, you know, failed on their own. And the first one, you know, as I was thinking about what I was going to say today, my wife reminded me of the two of them. And the first one, you know, ended, we lost it so quickly that I, as the father, never really felt it as much. My wife felt it because she was carrying it, but she wasn't really showing yet, hadn't really hit home. Now, the second one, the one I began to tell you about, this was a late-term death, I mean, a late-term loss of the child. And that one we both felt quite a bit. We had already told people about it. We had ultrasound pictures. We had come up with a name. You know, this is the cat without the bag that we were going to have this child. And then we went in one day for an ultrasound, and the heart wasn't working, you know, and there was, just wasn't going to, the child wasn't going to make it. So, you know, that's my pain going into this season is always that tinge that December reminds me of. You know, not only the children who are around having fun that you love and how the season is so focused on them, but also the children who are not around. And what it would be like if they were around. Because I think every time December 8th rolls around, I would have a little two-year-old with me and what that would be like. And my daughter would have a little brother and what that would be like. And I can't help but miss that, what it could have been, you know. Kid could have been a terror. Who knows? But, you know, I'll always have that fantasy or that image or that hope of what it could have been. Mm-hmm. Now, what I also want to tell you is that, you know, and probably a lot of you know this, but it bears telling because I think people in back in their younger, you know, childbearing years don't realize, and we didn't realize, just how many people do struggle with infertility, with the loss of pregnancies, and nobody talks about it. And it's not until you're dealing with it that, if you're lucky, people begin to come out of the woodwork and tell you, oh yeah, it's happened to me. And the place where we got that was at our church. And it was the people here and in our old church back in Chesaning, when we were going through our first pregnancy and our infertility issues there, who really shared with us just how much agony or how much anxiety, better word, this process is going to be. Because, again, for whatever reason, we were just naive and we didn't see that coming. And we didn't understand why it was happening and we didn't realize how common it really was. And that it's not strange. We take it for granted, I think, in an age of modern medicine that we've licked all these problems. They don't have to happen to you. But there's a lot you can't solve. You just can't. The nature of it is what it is. And so the people at church helped us out with that. And they even had stories of all of it, of infertility problems, of losing children very late in a pregnancy. And it was comforting to know that what we were going through was not unknown. It was not something that only we were suffering from, which is what people, especially in the midst of the depression, often feel, that they're the only ones that this is happening to. And that wasn't the case, and that did help. Doesn't make it good, doesn't make it great, doesn't make it easy, but it just helps you know that what's happening to you is not unnormal. It's not out of the blue. It's not some incredible hardship that no one should ever have to go through, because people do go through it. They go through it all the time. You know, and to put your own experience into a perspective and realize you're sharing it with other people and other people can relate to what you're going through is a very good thing. All right. Well, so that's my message of hope, I guess. is that you can that church and faith and being in, and especially the community of the church, when you are in a very low place, it really can help you out, and it really has helped us out. And you know, and it's been a great home for my wife and my daughter and I before all that happened, and through it, and after it all happened to us. And that's a wonderful thing. So I'll tell you a funny story, which I've told many times, and some of you have heard it already. So it's funny, but it's telling of just how difficult raising children, bearing children is, in a way that I never really appreciated until I had this brief conversation. This is back in our old church in Chesaning, my daughter had just been born, and I made some kind of quip, which is the kind of thing people say when they're under a lot of stress, but they don't realize it yet. They say things which show kind of a dark sense of humor or a very desperate attempt to find humor somewhere where it really can't be found, and someone throws it back in your face and you realize, oh yeah, life is serious. And your feelings are serious. I made some comment sitting around the social hall about, well, I guess I got this baby now for good, huh? Or something like that. Or I guess I gotta take care of this kid. And at the table were, I don't remember how many, maybe half a dozen older women, farmers' daughters, okay, women in their 70s. And they took my quip as a serious statement. And to paraphrase what they said, it was, well, you know, for the first 6 months, you don't really know. And it made me realize that to these women, they've lost children within 6 months, that even a newborn who's made it home from the hospital and everything seems to be okay is not out of the woods. And you can't take it for granted. And life is fragile. And it just, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that response from those people coming. And it made me realize just how serious and how important and how lucky I am to make it as far as I have. Because, again, a lot of people don't, and a lot of people have had worse losses than even I have. So, on that note, that's what I have to say. Thank you.
When you came in this evening, you should have either picked up or had in your bulletin a piece of muslin fabric. At this time, we're going to just have some quiet meditation time. And if you could take, and you should be able to write on it with just about any pen you can find, either on the clipboards or in your purse, or doesn't need to be a special marker. Just write the name of someone or what it is, a situation, whether it's a health issue, a relationship issue, whatever it is, that's making Christmas a little tougher to celebrate this year. And while the music is playing, I'm going to move the manger to the center, and we're going to offer those things and cushion the Christ child's bed for him in preparation for his appearance.
Gracious God, we come before you, as you have asked, bringing our hopes, fears, and questions to you, knowing that you hear and receive it all. We pause to remember those who we have lost. We pause to remember their name, their face, their voice, the memory that binds them to us this season. May eternal love and light surround them. Lord, hear our prayer. Forgiving God, only you can redeem the pain of loss, the loss of relationship, the loss of jobs, the loss of health. We gather up all the pain of the past and present and offer it to you. May we receive the gift of peace in return. Lord, hear our prayer. Steadfast God, we release the memories of the past weeks and months, the pain, the disbelief, the anger, the downtimes, the hugs and handshakes of family and friends, all those who stood with us in our suffering. We thank you for all the support we have known and your unfailing love. Lord, hear our prayer. Giving God, we remember our faith and the gift of hope which the Christmas story offers to us. We remember that God, Emmanuel, shares our life and promises us a place and time of no more pain and suffering. Help our hearts to receive and accept the gift of the one who shows the way, who brings the truth, who bears the light. Lord, hear our prayer. God of great compassion and love, listen to the prayers of these your people. Grant to all, especially the bereaved and troubled ones this Christmas, the blessing we ask in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As it says in the order of worship, this is an open table in the United Methodist Church, and all are welcome to come. This is a table that Christ has opened to people who have everything going for them. And this is a table that Christ has opened to people who are hungering in this life, hungering for peace, hungering for comfort, hungering to be connected to community, hungering to know God. And this is a place where Jesus says, come. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, as we approach your table, we approach not with the confidence of our goodness, but with your confidence, with your love. We're confident that you have been with us in difficult times in this last year and in years before. You were there when we called, and you were there when our minds were occupied or our grief was almost too much to bear. And we are so thankful. We come acknowledging that there have been times when we have stepped aside, avoided your embrace, turned the other way. And so we ask that you might take from us now, as you have by your Son, Jesus Christ, our burdens, our sins. Release us in this life, trusting in your mercy, trusting in your grace. We celebrate your forgiveness and know that we are a pardoned people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So Jesus gathered with his disciples in an upper room on the night before his death. They knew that the worst was coming. And of all the things that Jesus could have done in the midst of their worry and their mourning and their broken hearts, he shared a meal with them. And in the middle of the meal, he took the bread, and after he had given thanks to God, he took the bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." When the meal was over, he took the cup, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And he said, "This is my cup of the new covenant given for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you remember me." Let us pray. Lord, we come to your table again, thrilled by the loved ones who surround us and support us, brokenhearted by those who are not here. And we come trusting that you are steadfastly present with us, our joy, our comfort, our peace, our hope. And so be for us now in this bread and this juice. Be the body and blood of Christ for us, that we might be the body of Christ for the world, redeemed by your blood, lifted from sorrow and mourning by your care, and present here with your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the season, we think about the baby in a manger. But the body of Christ lives and breathes, and those who surround us, Christ lives and offers us hope in this world and in the life to come. We pray now as we finish this meal, O Lord, that you might remind us again and again of your life that does not end, but a life instead that promises that no life ends, but continues in your internal embrace. Amen.
Go now into the night, knowing that you need not go alone. Go now into the night, knowing that the dawn is coming. Go now into the night, knowing that love endures forever. Go now into the night, knowing that the Christ child will come. Go now. And may the peace of Jesus Christ, the peace that surpasses all understanding, be with you always. Amen.